Praise God. How many are going through something today? Maybe in your family, maybe at home, like we just told you about. We're singing and praying right now. Just get your mind off of that. We're going to get your mind on to God. See, if you just keep your mind on the things of God, He'll take care of those situations. But what He'll do more importantly today is He'll get you stronger to face those steps. He'll get you stronger so that when the answer comes, you'll be ready to enjoy it. When the answer comes, you'll be ready to tell everybody about it. You'll be in a place that you can handle it. Amen. You won't have to. You get so worried and so much anxiety when the answer comes, you've got to heal yourself to enjoy it. So God is saying, sing, you praise me, you keep your eye on me, and I'll focus on the problem, and I'll take care of the problem. So whatever you're going through, whatever you're praying about, you just give it to God. And that's what all the praying about, and that's what all the celebration and all the songs are about, because God is the healer. Amen. Where a song we're going to sing is Just a Closer Walk with You. We're going to do the first two verses. And I believe it's song number...
430.
430. All right. She beat you, Marilyn. And she beat you, too. Oh, you already had Marilyn. No.
Good job, guys.
Pardon me.
Pardon me, Roy. Got to get your new shoes. Morning, church. Can we stand up and pray together this morning? We're praying to our God, our Father. We're praying to Him this morning with all our hearts today. It's such a beautiful prayer. Such a beautiful prayer for us. Jesus gave us this. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. That's our promise in God, in Jesus' name. Give him praise, church. Be seated and enjoy. Welcome to church. I just want to, before I start, I want to say that 2 weeks from now, Deacon Gary will be doing the sermon on Sunday. Things will be a little different, obviously, amen? But I want you to know he is more nervous than you are for him. He's working. He is so excited. But in excitement, he is just sweating bullets. He just wants it. I know, I don't have to ask you, but I know you'll all support what he does and support him. Things are going to be a little different. You're going to hear some different songs. You're going to hear some different music. It's all for Second Congregational, and it comes from all of the people with the heart who wants this church to be that light. Amen. And it's not going to be the same, and it's not supposed to be the same, but I just want you to know he is so nervous. He doesn't have to tell me. I know how that is. So, you know, just stay with that, because it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting, and I bet you'll have a few laughs too. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with joy in church. We're supposed to be teaching joy and peace, not anger. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read together. Responsive reading, Psalm 57. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by.
Cry out to God most high. God performs all things for me.
Hallelujah. Listen, he shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth.
My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword.
Hallelujah. He exalted. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth.
My heart is steadfast. God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise.
Will you do that? Will you do that during the week? Will you sing and give praises? It will change you. It really will. Get out of your own head and start singing praises to God from your heart. Awake, my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn.
I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing to you among the nations.
For your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds.
Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let our glory be above all the earth.
Hallelujah. Psalm 57. That's not hard to read, is it? Is it? No. The Bible is God's word to us. It's hard to explain what this means to me more and more each week. And not because of the sermon, but because of what it says inside. Amen? Now, I have a message for you. We heard more about God in the last week than we've heard on TV probably in the last 6 months. Amen? More about God. And so I want to remind you of something we talked about. Be careful answering questions when people come to you and ask you for a question. Be careful answering, because know, first of all, that God has your back. I'm never ashamed to tell anybody what the gospel says. Amen. But be careful who asks the question, because you don't know where it comes from, what they're looking for. What some may not want your answer, but they want to trap you. Amen. They want to get you caught in something so that they can tell everybody else what you said that you didn't say you said. Amen. And that's what happens. It's so easy for us to want to say. Now, somebody was asked recently, you believe marriage is between a man and a woman? I said, of course I do. We all do, amen? The Bible says marriage is between a man and a woman. And he said that. But the man did not want that answer. he proceeded to tell him what he thought and why the man he asked the question was supposed to believe the way he believed. Amen? So he never really wanted the answer. He wanted the door open so that he could say what he felt. Amen? That's what he asked for. And somebody asked a question about who is a Christian and who's not a Christian. And it wasn't, that wasn't the question at all, amen? But they made that question into something that never was. So I just say to you, be careful answering questions. Be careful who asks the questions. Because here's what the Bible says. I'm going to give you what the Bible says. In 8 words, in John it said, it says, he said, I did not come to judge the world. Jesus said, I came to save the world. So if somebody asks you who is and what is, you say, it's not for me to say. I don't judge my brothers. I don't judge my sisters. I don't judge anybody. I don't, because the Bible says you're going to be surprised when we get to heaven, and we're all going to heaven, amen? We're going to be surprised who you see there. You're going to be surprised because there's going to be murderers there. There's going to be people there who did the most wretched of things. They're going to be there. Because whatever time they had left or whatever they decided, they got on their knees and said, Lord, forgive me. Amen? Lord, forgive me. They're going to be there waiting. And you'll be surprised. They ask for forgiveness. Now, here on earth, when you commit a crime, we have laws. They put you away. Amen? And you serve your man's laws. But with God, it's different. So the Bible says, judge not. Judge not. Say that with me. Judge not, lest you be judged. Hallelujah. And I say to you, what is the greatest sin? What would you, if you had to sit and think what the greatest sin is, and what I, when I prayed about it, this is what the greatest sin I came up with was pride. What does the Bible say? Pride comes before the, and what is pride? Self. Self. I don't need God. I'm right. I don't need to pray. I don't need to ask for forgiveness. I know, and the pride gets in the way. That to me is the greatest sin, because it causes your heart to harden and your spirit to pull away from God. Amen. So when you're talking about sins, we're all talking, well, we all, but the Bible says we all what? Fall short daily. Amen. We all fall short daily. So when we look at a brother and a sister, we don't judge what they're doing or how they're, we pray about that. We say, you know, that's not me. But there's plenty of other things we're doing that we need to worry about. Amen. But judge not, lest you be judged. And I believe that pride is the greatest sin, because it keeps you from God. It keeps you from even wanting to know God. You don't have a need for God. Hallelujah. I did not come to judge the world, Jesus said, but to save the world. And I ask you, when you meet Jesus, who are you going to meet? Listen. You tell people, we're going to meet Jesus. You're going to meet the most forgiving person ever. The most tender-hearted person ever. He is the true meaning of love, Elaine. When you meet Jesus, you have nothing to fear, because he's a forgiver of sin and iniquity. You love him. You love him. He's a forgiver. When you meet him, he's going to forgive you, Sergio. He's not going to be mad at you. He's forgiven and forgotten your past sins. He knows that you love him, Doreen. So he's not the God that everybody's saying that he's going to judge the world. That's not why he came. That's not why he sits at the right hand of his Father. He's the most tender, loving, kind-hearted, giving person you will ever meet. He is, Gary, love. He's already forgiven you for things you thought about that you shouldn't have thought about, and things you do tomorrow he's already forgiven you for, because he knows that we're all a work in progress. Amen? We need not to judge one another. We need not to decide who's a Christian and who's not a Christian. We need to work on our own salvation, Jim. And I ask you, when you come to church, do you come as whatever race you are, Spanish, whatever race, is that how you come to church? Or whatever nationality you are, is that how you come to church? When you walk in the doors, do you come into church of a denomination? Well, I'm a Methodist. I'm a fill in the blank, whatever. We don't need to say, you know what? Is that how you come to church? Whatever denomination you are? I think that's the first problem. Do people do that? Are we all guilty of that sometimes? Probably. Do we all discriminate sometimes? Probably. But I think the words are being taken out of context with discrimination. Just because I don't like a style of music doesn't mean I discriminate against it. I just don't prefer it. But when you come to church, do you come to church as a race? No. You come to church, Seth, as a sinner, walking in the door of forgiveness every Sunday, hoping and praying that you hear a word that makes you have peace for the week, makes you feel stronger for the week, being able to face it, face problems for the week. You come to church as a sinner. If you come to church as anything else, you've already missed it. You've already missed it. You've already missed Him because you're coming to church with a reason, thinking that God is going to do something for you because of who you are. He's already done it. The second you walked into the doors as a sinner, He's already done what He's going to do for you. Amen? He's forgiven you. He's forgiven you. Hallelujah. Dominic, you know the Bible. When Jesus came upon the earth and the Pharisees and everybody saw Him, they thought that He was going to be a lion. Remember, the people thought He was going to come and destroy all the people that were oppressing Him. They looked at Jesus like He was going to be this lion to come over and Jim and just revenge everything the bad that's ever happened. And He's going to destroy that. And He's going to destroy this. And why did they reject Him? Because He came as a lamb.
Amen.
He came as a lamb. He came, Pat, to forgive, to save, not destroy. But people still come to church thinking he's going to help them get theirs. They missed it. They've missed it. You come to church because of what He did for you. That's simple. You don't need anybody else to tell you. Amen. You don't need to go to anybody else to talk to God. Jesus is sitting there saying, Elder Pat, when are you going to come talk to me today? I love talking to you. And Jesus someday is going to get one of your hugs and He's going to say, that's what everybody was so excited about. That is God in your life. Peace. Strength, Chuck. Strength that you never thought you had. The Bible says peace that surpasses all understanding. That doesn't make sense to you, church. That sometimes you say, peace that surpasses all understanding. That's right. Because you have peace in the midst of something that would bring you turmoil. And you say, but I feel peaceful. And that's God saying, yes, you do. Because I got you right here. The most forgiving person you'll ever meet is Jesus. The most tender person you'll ever meet is Jesus. Jesus is all you need. You need Jesus. The world is going to come against you. Every time it's going to come against you. It's going to push hard back. All you need is Jesus. The devil's going to come against you and throw things in your life. Sickness in your life. Sickness with your family. Lost your job. Lost your house. Lost them. So the devil's going to come against you. But Jesus said, I got it covered. Trust me. And some days may seem darker than others. How many know that? Some days will seem darker than others. And you'll wonder, why, Lord? Why? Why am I going through more than I thought? And God is saying, because I need you. Asked me to do it. You asked the perfect one to perform the perfect miracle. You don't want it your way, Pat, do you? You want it His way. So we get disappointed with something. That's okay. God understands that. But you've asked the perfect to perform the perfect. So sometimes we have to wait for that. Amen. That's God. That's God. That's God. He doesn't live. He's not in a building. He's here in your heart. When you walk through those doors to come to church, you're coming to receive more of what's already in your heart. Amen? That's our God. So, Lord, You are awesome. You're awesome. But that's just not a good enough word. You're amazing. Wonderful. I guess, Lord, really, if man would say the truth, there's no words that can describe who You are. Except when You come into our heart and we know that we know that there's nothing, there's just nothing that takes Your place. That nothing could ever take Your place. So, oh, You give me the freedom to sin, but no, Lord, I don't want to hurt You. I don't ever want to do anything, Lord, against you, to hurt you, to cause you pain, Lord. I want you to be proud of me, Lord. I want you to lift me up and make me strong, but I want you to be proud of who I am, Lord. I want you to see how much I love you. I want you to smile upon me, Lord. That's why I don't go out and sin and do all the things I know I can, because you cover me with it, with your blood, Lord. I just worship and love you, Lord. That's all I need to do. You add the rest. Just you and me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen.
Amen and amen. Give him praise, church. Heard a lot of talking about God. Paul says it doesn't matter, Chuck, if you're talking about whatever you talk, however you're talking about him, you're still talking about him. And Paul said, that's either way, it's fine with me. Just keep talking about God and Jesus. They're talking about sin and let it get out there. Amen. I, for one, am happy about that. Thank you. Every day is a journey. Can you say that with me today? Every day is a journey, a chance to see, to believe, and to experience. Guess who for? Sam, for yourself. Every day is an experience for you. To be with God, be with your friends, be with your loved ones, see something new that God does in your life. Every day is a new day. Every day is a new experience. If you look at it that way, the joys that you're looking forward to tomorrow, that you don't even know about, the joy, say, I can't wait to see God more, to do more, to be with others, to tell others about Him. I can't wait to lift somebody else up in need and feel that I'm giving somebody something that lasts a lifetime. Amen? So I ask you, church, this morning, I ask you, what would you, Dominic, tell people about Jesus? Bill Kohler, what would you tell? When you tell someone about Jesus, what do you say? Amen? What do you say? Three things. How He changed your life. Would you tell them how He changed your life? How He's working. How He's changing your focus on your life for your friends. How He brought people that you never thought were your friends became your friends because of Jesus. Hallelujah. What would you say? If Jesus walked in the door now, Sergio, what would you say to Him? Because He loves you. What would you say? I went to a church one time. Lisa, I went to a church and they said, what would you do if Jesus walked in the door today? And everybody in the church, Mary, they got on their knees, and I'm looking and said, no, well, I don't want to get on my, I want to go hug Him. That's the first thing I thought. I wanted to go hug Him. I don't want to get it. He's not worship. If He's here, I want to hug Him. Amen? So I tell you, church, what would you tell others about God? What is God doing in your life that's worthy that you tell others besides everything? Amen? You tell others when you buy a new car, when you get a new job, when you win at bingo. You tell others when you sing. I mean, you tell others about all the great little, but do you tell others about how great God has been in your life? How He brought you from one valley back to the mountain again. And how He lifted you up. How He healed your marriage. How He brought a son or a daughter back home and you could build a relationship with. How He brought a mate to you. What do you tell God? What do you tell everybody about God? Hallelujah. You got you quiet. I like that sometimes. Praise the Lord. I got you thinking. That's a good thing, amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Listen to this story because maybe you see it different than I do, but thank you, Lord. Thank you. Said, but he wanted to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus said to him, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road. think Catholic priests, please. This is the Bible times before the Catholic Church, amen. Priests were people who talked and preached God, amen. So don't already put the, like a, there was a Catholic priest walking. It's not. So stay, just. But it's a priest. It was a man of God, amen. Are you with me? Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, that's a Jew, he, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he was journeying, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Isn't that an interesting story? When I see people promising other people things, I'm thinking, really? How can you do that? You're promising people, and you're going here and promising people, and then you're going here, and then you leave and you forget. You can't do everything that you promised, amen? So who's the good Samaritan? Who's the one that's just saying good words to somebody, like seeing somebody outside cold and said, oh, I'm going to pray for you. I know it's cold out and you have nothing to eat, so I'm going to say a prayer for you and walk away. What kind of prayer was that? Amen? So when people promise to give people other things, what kind of a promise is that? What kind of a gift is that? It's not a gift. Amen? Are you with me? And I say, instead of promising a handout, why not tell us how they made it? I tell people, see people on TV all the time say, why don't you tell the children how you made it? How you became an actor? Tell the children in the inner cities, the children that are hurting, the children that need some kind of help, some kind of, hey, can you just give me some good news? Tell them how you made it. How you became a great athlete making millions of dollars. Or you became a great actor making millions of dollars. Or you're a doctor, or you're a lawyer, or all these wonderful things that you see on TV. So why don't you tell us how you got there? Did somebody give you that job? So somebody say, here, you play for the Yankees, or just offer you that? Or did it take work? Did it take determination? And did it take help from other people who gave their time, not just with a promise, not just with a few dollars? Because if a few dollars could solve the problem, George, amen, then everybody could give $1 million, all the millionaires, and all the problems would be solved. Are you with me? But you know, it doesn't work that way. Just like this story, these people promise things. They promise, and they just don't. They walk away and say, oh, he promised me that. And that's what they're left with. Instead of telling him, hey, this is how you do it. This is how I did it. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be better? Instead of promising, telling others, have a blueprint to success. And again, I say, every sports guy, actor, singer, doctor, lawyer, executive, surely every successful guy didn't come from a wealthy family, amen? And I see stories on TV all the time of I like sports, the baseball players and stuff. Beltran for the Yankees is one. Willie Randolph. Anybody hear of Willie Randolph? Lived in New York City, in the inner city? He said it was the Con Ed project, the things in New York City where he could go play baseball. They had these leagues and they let all these kids play baseball, sandlot baseball. And somebody saw him and took an interest in him and bought him a glove, bought him a bat, helped him work out, and made Willie Randolph who he was today. Nobody gave him anything, amen? But they gave him the tools to be great. So instead of giving people something, first of all, it's not yours to give. Anybody that promises, people on TV, they promise you money, they don't have any money, amen? They have our money, they have everybody else's but their money. So instead of promising them, why not giving them tools to be great? Why not go into there and tell them they can be great? Help them to go. Get mentors in there. Let these let these sports people help them. Let these actors actually help them. Go in and say, this is how I did it. Give them a blueprint. Amen? I think that would be a healing. Don't you think so? I think that would heal the inner cities. That would heal people. That would give people hope for their life. Not just for a handout for today. You would just that story. These people saw that person in need and they walked by him. This one man saw a man in need and took care of him. Everything. Even the next day so that he could heal. We need to take care of each other that way. Amen. We need to look across the aisle and take care of one another like that. Each day. Each day remember one another. Each day lift up one another. I know, my friend, you're going through something with a job. I know that it's so serious in your life. We need to continue to lift you up. Stay focused on God. We know God's got an answer that's so magnificent that I can't wait to hear it. But we're all going through situations where we need to remember each other. Lift each other up, Dale. We lift you up. We hug you. We're holding you in our arms. They don't even know some of the things you've just recently had to experience. But the love here is for you. God's love is for you, but this is your home with us. And we wrap our arms around you and lift you up. That's what a Samaritan, that's what we need to do. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Let me read this story too. I like this. And this is a parable. Remember, Doreen, you asked me once about a parable. Sometimes Jesus spoke in parables. It really wasn't a story that was spiritual in a way, but it was a story to teach, make you think. Sometimes Jesus wanted you to think. He wanted you to think for yourself, and he would express something simple and then let you put it into your life. Anyway, I like this a lot. See if this makes any sense to you. And understand that this is something that I try to practice. I really do. So he told the parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you being with shame to take the lower place, the lowest place. Listen to what Jesus is saying. He says, when you're invited, go and sit down in the lowest place. So that when he who invites you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Isn't that great? I love that story. All right, I think it's a story of life. When you go somewhere and you're invited somewhere, take a back seat. You're invited somebody's house, whatever you're invited to, and let that person say, oh no, come sit up here with us. And then everybody around says, oh, he or she must be somebody. Look at, they're asking him. And everybody will say, oh Lord, it must be somebody special. See, you didn't do anything. God did it because you listened to God. Or instead of going and sitting, imagine how that would be, sitting on the front table and say, oh, excuse me, this is not for you, your table. And everybody sees you have to get up from that table and go sit in the back. And it's a different experience, isn't it? See, when you do things God's way, when you treat people God's way, when you lift people up the way God wants, things change, don't they? Lives change. Whose lives change first? Your life changes. It has to change. Because you're not the same person you were yesterday, amen? You come to church every Sunday now. You probably thought a few years ago, I never go to church. I'm not going to church or nothing. Now I go to church because I need to get fed to face the week. I go to church to see my brothers and sisters. I go to church to hear a crazy man talk about God, preaching every week about love and unity and blessings. Hope. Hope. That's what we're supposed to preach here, amen? Hope. Hope for everybody. Because God has an answer for who? Everybody. Hallelujah. Yes, he has an answer for you, Mrs. C. Thank you, Lord. I see a lot of angry people at church. I see a lot of people angry talking, and I say, Lord, just help them. Please, Lord, just help them. Let them see that they're not going to win the battle. You win the battle. You want people to hear you. Remember, everybody, how do you want people to hear you? What do? You whisper. Because when you whisper, people have to what? Listen. And when they listen, maybe they'll catch some of it. When you start yelling after a while, It sounds like the same note. That Greg was playing the same note on the bass. After a while, you didn't. But if he played a little melody and he played it quiet, you'd have to stop and listen to the. What is that? And say, that's pretty good. See, everybody be wanting to see. That's just like with us in life, with God. Amen? It's just so beautiful. They wanted, and some people today want God to revenge them. They want God to come as a lion and devour those who come against them. That's what they want. They're demanding to God. They're demanding to God to do their bidding. Amen? But, one more time. When they meet Jesus, when they get alone, and they open this book, and they meet Jesus, and they really read His Word, hallelujah. The God of the Bible comes with compassion for those who ask, victory for those who seek, and forgiveness for those who have fallen short. He's not worried about, He's not concerned about your revenge. He's not concerned about you blaming anybody else. Because when you blame somebody else, who does that take it off of? You. The second you start blaming somebody else for all your problems, you forgot maybe you're the problem. Maybe you're part of the problem. You blame somebody else, it takes the responsibility off you. Amen? When you look in the mirror, see that person. God said, I'm just concerned about you. You do what God tells you to do. God will take care of the rest. You see your shortcomings and you work with them. God will take care of the rest. You ask God to help you. He will help you. You look in that mirror and say, I need help, Lord. I know you got more for me than I have today. And I don't care who you are. And don't think for one minute that if you become a millionaire tomorrow, your problems are over. Amen? You see it everywhere. You see it everywhere. People with millions and millions of dollars and more problems, Gary, than they can shake a stick at. You can't buy it off. You can't pay it off. You can't give it off. When you have peace here, all your problems are solved. All of them. When you get to know who Jesus is, all your problems are gone. When you get to know that Jesus is the most forgiving, loving, tender-hearted man, and you're going to meet Him someday, your fear is gone. Gone. This is your victory day, church. This is your victory day, Doreen. You know why? Because this is the day you have. This is your victory day. If somebody's trying to quit something, today is your victory day, amen? Somebody's trying to pull away from something bad, this is your victory day. Somebody was depressed yesterday, this is your victory day. Somebody was worried about something, this is your victory day. You think my wife and I, well, we love where we are. It's so beautiful. It's so small. Greg will tell you, it's such a small house. But the windows go from the ceiling to the floor. And when we wake up in the morning, we could just look over at it and see the animals in the backyard. There's so many things there that are so special to us now that we have to realize that God says, it's time. So we have to just put it in His envelope and say, okay, Lord, we're waiting when You call. We could be upset. Amen. It might not sound like a lot to other people who are going through sickness, but it's our problem now. Amen. So we just give it to God. Because God has an answer and a better answer than we would have. We don't get excited. We're not yelling and screaming. But we're not going to let the devil steal our joy. We're not going to let the devil steal our hearts. Amen? We can't let it happen. You're the most beautiful couple. We love having you. We just love you guys. We're so excited about Alana. Can't wait. When's she coming back anytime in spring? March, okay. March when? We're going to be in Disney World that time. Hallelujah. You don't need anybody to talk to God. You don't. You don't need to go to anybody to talk to God. I tell you what you do, you go to Elder Pat if you want prayer. You go to Elder Pat if you want somebody to pray with you. And if you start wavering, she's not going to pray with you. She's going to pray a prayer of belief, her faith. And if you do, you go to Elder Pat and you give her your problem, you better not give it to her the next day because she said, we already prayed about that. She's not going to let you do that. But we come together in prayer. There's power in prayer. There's power in numbers of prayer. We lift each other up. We got a beautiful letter today from Paul telling us to be in unity, telling us to be in one spirit, telling us to be blameless, telling us to be that light that shines. Amen? That's our God. That's your God. Give Him praise, church. Give Him praise. So, just in closing, what would you say to Jesus if He walked into your house today? And what will you tell? What three things could you tell other people about God? I will tell you to meditate on that. And when you meditate on that, all of a sudden you'll forget about the things you're worried about, your problems. You'll start to really have time with God. You'll be starting talking to God. Say, what would I tell people about God? If somebody asked me, somebody that really needed it, what would I... And you'll get your answers. You know why? Because you hear from God too. Amen? You know, God will talk to you too. He will. Talk to you. Friend, you can hear God in a way I can't hear Him. You hear Him in the voice that He'll speak to you. So if you ask Him, what can I tell other people about you? He will tell you what He won't tell me. Because you have an ear to hear in the way that He wants you to hear Him. We all have that blessing. And remember, when you come to church with a heart of thanksgiving, knowing that we all come in, we all, how many? Come in as sinners. Judge not, yes, to be judged. Be careful of those who are trying to trick you, trying to get you to say something you didn't say, but they made it sound like you said it. Amen? Because all they want to do is trample the Bible. All they want to do is put God down. They want to mock what God has taught us. That's all they want. So be careful giving those answers. Hallelujah. God bless. Give Him praise.
We know that run, though. We got that. That's a 5, 6 to 7. Can't pull one over on us, Greg.
Anybody feel better now than you did when you walked in? Anybody feel more peace? Any worries being removed? I know that sometimes you had a little sermon and it can't take care of your problems, but it starts you on the path. Amen? You have to take the path. You have to start walking the path. It's that where so many people, you have no idea what they're going through, yet they're here giving it to God first. Because of what Jesus did for us, we have every right to go to the throne room for what He did for us. Without Him, we have nothing. With Jesus, we have everything. As He took that bread and He blessed and broke it, told the disciples, "This is my body being torn for you." Chuck, they had no idea what He was talking about. But they did what He said to do. And He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Thank you, deacons. Okay, nice job. Praise the Lord. There were two boys who took the Bible and they put a false cover on the Bible. Did anybody see that? I'm not going to tell you what they put the cover. It was from another religion on the cover. So when you saw the book, it looked like it was from another religion. And what they did is highlight 5 different verses from the Bible. Just simply find 5 verses. And they had people read those verses out of context, of course. And then they showed them, "Oh, that's from the Bible." It is so... such an abomination for them to do that. Not to understand. They had no idea of what they were showing. But you know, in the Old Testament, it talked, some of the things in the Old Testament were pretty graphic, pretty black and white. And not to do exactly, but it was a metaphor. And they did that this week, and they went around and they showed, "Well, read these 5 things from the Bible." You know, and then they showed, "Oh, that came out of the Bible." That's what we're faced with church. That's what you're faced with. People who don't want to know. They spent more time with that than trying to find something in the Bible. They spend more time trying to destroy the Word instead of trying to learn the Word, Sergio. They really spend their time and energy trying to find something in there to turn somebody else off to God with, instead of looking in there and finding out what's in there for them. Amen? And those are the kind of things that we're up against. So I tell you again, when somebody asks you a question, be very careful how you answer them. And know that God has your back. I'm not afraid to say that I'm against this or I'm against that, or I believe how I believe with marriage, or I believe with my Jesus. I'm not afraid of that at all. I'm not, but I don't want to argue with somebody who's a fool, who's only wanting something else from me and is going to mock my God. Because the Bible said God will not be mocked. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When you meet Him, you will meet love and forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Praise God. We live in the new covenant. We live in the promise. He took the wine, poured it into a cup, and said, "This is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins." They had no idea what he was talking about. He simply said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Sergio, I was just thinking maybe one of the reasons that they don't look at the Bible and want to study the Bible and want to learn about God is because the second they do, they realize they have to do one thing. They have to change. The second somebody reads the Bible and wants to learn more about it, they've realized the first thing, Gary, is that they were wrong. First of all, about the Word of God. And second of all, the things in their life that they said and did that they were wrong. So maybe that's the hardest part for them, to actually admit that I was wrong. Strong. Sister Mary, we have you in our prayers. Every minute, every day, you've been in our prayers. Even when you send a picture of you guys with Elvis Presley. And you didn't invite the pastors to be with you. They went to see Elvis last week. And sent me pictures of Elvis hanging in. An Elvis impersonator. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What would you say to Jesus if he walked into your house this afternoon? To ask him to sit down and have a coffee with you, have a cup of tea with you, ask him to dine with you, take a walk with you? Or would you be afraid he'd see too much? No need for that, Lisa. He's seen it all already. He's seen it all. Thank you, Deacon Jim. I can't help but want joy in this church. I can't help but want peace in this church and strength and unity in this church. I know that's the way. That's the way to becoming a beacon. To becoming a beacon, all of us being strong in the Lord together. And it starts with Jesus, in Jesus' name. Whatever you're going through, Jesus has an answer. If you can't fix it, then don't worry about it today. Find something you can do today. Enjoy that with your hands, with your heart, whatever giving, whatever you're doing. However, enjoy today. Today is your victory day. It's the beginning, a new day. Enjoy it. Let God take care of the things you can't take care of today. If you can't fix it today, there's no sense worrying. And if you're just sad today, let go of the sadness. And I said something to somebody earlier, said I can bring you 10 people that are worse off than you are today. And take a minute to find them. So be glad in what God has blessed you with today, knowing that tomorrow is even a greater day if you're with the Lord. Hallelujah. Give him praise, church.